Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's got Star Trek, episode 82, Enterprise, season 4, episodes 18 and 19, In a Mirror, Darkly.
I notice you've been making extensive use of the library database.
I was merely researching classical literature. I wanted to compare our major works with their counterparts in the other universe. I skimmed a few of the more celebrated narratives. The stories were similar in some respects, but their characters were weak and compassionate. With the exception of Shakespeare, of course. What I could tell, his plays were equally grim in both universes.
Examine their historical files. You may want to learn more about their Federation. Did you know in the other universe, humans and Inobulans are considered equals? As are Vulcans. You don't find this interesting?
I find it dangerous. If I were the captain, I'd restrict access to that database. I certainly wouldn't want to give his crew any ideas.
All right. Do you have any clever ideas for how to start this? How to start this episode?
Well, this is not this episode related, but I have to defend myself from a couple episodes ago. Someone
defend yourself or simply respond. We were unable to. Okay.
I don't think you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I can guess. So Dan has returned. And
oh yeah, I'm back. By the way,
he's our special guest tonight.
Dan has returned. He was on.
Was I traveling through time? Can I not do that again?
You were on a mission.
No, you were on assignment.
Okay, this time I was traveling through time.
No, I think you were on assignment. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like you were gone, but now you're back.
It's classified. It's classified. Yeah.
But Dan was able to, despite being very busy, he was able to record some commentary for the last few episodes and send it in as a voicemail.
It was tight.
And the one drawback to that, while we were able to incorporate Dan's... By the way, this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes.
So episode 82.
You know this from the...
You know this.
You know this, but it's episode 82.
What's her name with eunuchs in that dinosaur movie?
Yeah, I know. We, Jurassic Park. I know. Why'd you make me say that? You fucking tricked me into saying that shit.
Yes.
I knew as I was saying Jurassic Park, I knew you would smile at the fact that you tricked me into saying Jurassic Park.
I'm really
smart. Of course,
smart.
You know what Jurassic Park is. Anyway, so it's got Star Trek.
He's a stinker.
82. Yeah. In a moment, we will be talking about In a Mirror Darkly Parts 1 and 2.
Eventually.
Enterprise's fourth and last season. But first. Dan says he wants to defend himself, presumably, possibly in relation to one of the responses to the recordings from before.
Well, what I was talking about was from two episodes ago, I believe. They were talking about traveling in parsecs.
Oh yeah, Dan was totally right about that.
Oh
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. So I don't have to because I pulled out.
No. But
all
now
the
you have to explain it because this is an evergreen podcast and people are picking and choosing which episodes. So basically, Dan in the recording made a comment about the parsecs being a measure of.
It was a basic
based on the light speed.
Yeah. So yeah. Right. So they were saying it's this many parsecs, and I'm thinking why are they using? Because parsecs is an Earth-centric measurement.
Yes.
And why would
because it's based on the arc second.
Yeah, right. So it's all trigonometry based upon the distance of the Earth to the Sun, which is one astronomical unit, and then one arc second is the angle of the Earth to the star you're looking at, and then which is the hypotenuse, and then
hypotenuse.
The long flat side is the parsec.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So
the vinculum.
The vinculum.
Yeah,
Peter Venkman.
Parsec is equal to about 3.26 light years. So yes, you can convert it to a light year measurement.
100% correct.
But the process with which to get to that value is based upon living on Earth. This was
the
invented.
The term parsec is indeed an Earth-centric measure.
It was
used it before.
It was invented 100 years ago or some shit that.
But. Yeah, probably according to Chekhov, no doubt by a Russian.
By some nerds.
By some nerds. Total nerds.
Anything else you need to defend yourself?
Why would they use parsec in Starfleet that has that embraces all cultures? You know, why would you?
Yeah.
And why would it mean anything?
There's no need to defend yourself, sir.
Yeah. Okay. It's still better usage than, of course, in Star Wars, where it was a measurement of time.
When I was editing that episode, I heard that conversation, and then I looked it up, and I was like, fuck. And I was like, well, I'm not going to. So I know sometimes on a podcast, somebody will edit in a little spot that explains, like, actually, it turns out we were incorrect, or we want to make a clarification here. I got no problem with that. I would do that. Except usually when I'm editing the podcast, I'm not in the mood to, like, add work to my Saturday.
I totally respect that.
I could go and record this, or I could just deal with the fucking fallout.
I totally appreciate and respect that, your position on that. Yeah.
All right. So with that, shall we go ahead and get into the meaty goodness?
The meaty goodness.
That is In a Mirror, Darkly. Which is a biblically derived quote.
Mm-hmm.
Have something to do with something.
Yeah.
I looked it up and then forgot.
No.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
Did they have mirrors in the Bible?
I think it depends on the translation you look at. In some of the older translations, it's look in a dark glass, I think.
Yeah.
Look through a dark glass.
All my Google results are Star Trek related.
Of course they are, because, you know, Star Trek rules. All right. In a Mirror, Darkly, the Mirror Universe episode.
It was a bad night in Bozeman.
For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. That's not the same as that was in Corinthians 13:12.
That's the quote, I believe, but it translates in different manners and mechanisms.
And this is a play on it.
And there are no doubt high quality podcasts that would detail the translation issues related to religious texts.
Well, it comes from the writings of the Apostle Paul, and it's basically to have an obscure or imperfect vision of reality. Darkly. That's what darkly is. Darkly is to have an obscure, imperfect vision.
So it doesn't
vision.
Entirely apply to this, because as far as we understand, these people are in fact fully real.
Paul,
and just
that
living
guy was
in
out there,
in
man.
Alternate universe.
To see through a glass darkly is to have an obscure or imperfect vision of reality. Okay.
Okay, maybe it's referring to Mirror Archer's paranoia, and weirdness,
and a jealousy of himself, jealousy of his. Because even though it's not you, imagine being jealous of your alternate universe.
There's a lot to talk about, but maybe even though it's not a huge part of the episode, which actually makes it weirder, the whole Mirror Archer hallucinating Prime Archer, but it's not actually Prime Archer because he's giving bizarre advice. It's Mirror Archer talking to himself. I understand why they did it from a production standpoint, because it was their chosen solution to externalizing Archer's internal monologue, which is very difficult to do on television when you don't have a narration or something. That was the solution they chose, but it was weird. It was without explanation, and
sort of just happens all of a sudden.
And it only happens a couple times.
Yeah, just a couple, in the second episode.
Yeah. And what is it? It's Hoshi that's reading about Prime Archer, how he's this badass and he's like the best explorer of all time or 22nd century or whatever.
Yeah.
And at that moment it's pretty good, because you can tell Mirror Archer then without them having to throw it in your face. He's starting to snap. Yeah, he's starting to get pissed about that. You can tell it.
But great men are not peacemakers, and he all like sneers it out.
Yeah, he's like, great men are not peacemakers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Conquerors are, great men are conquerors.
Yeah, but then they really throw
what
it.
A trite piece of advice, by the way. trite slogan. Trite aphorism.
But then they throw it in your face, Mirror I guess, Archer. with the whole hallucination thing. I thought this episode's interesting because I kind of like it in a way. Yeah. Like there's a lot of going on, and I like how there's some weird shit, like that Gorn shit was really weird. Yeah. Like they just threw that in there, and I'm gonna talk about some of the special effects in this episode. Some of the computer graphics were pretty like out there and dated.
And everybody's playing like kind of a goofy version of themselves.
Yeah,
they probably had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, and Yeah, everyone's a goofy version of themselves. And for some reason, like, Archer and Tucker both had, like, spiky hair. And Archer had, like, stubble, so you knew he was bad. Oh, by the way, Archer, scowling mirror Archer, is fucking tough and sexy looking, I gotta say.
He
didn't realize he could look like that. His jaw is fucking...
super square.
Like, clonk, like when
extra square.
When he's scowling, yeah.
He's all grinding his teeth.
Yeah, and you never see Scott Bakula scowling. No, in Quantum Leap, he was always, like, smiling, grr.
You know? I know, he's grinning the whole show.
Yeah. He does that in real life, too.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So there was a lot of cool stuff. You like really felt like there was a lot of stuff sort of going on and happening. And whether you think it's whether, you know, the whole story was not really taking any risks or not, it was just a kind of a cool story. The problem, though, is it was hard to figure out why I was supposed to care about these characters without anchoring it back to the Prime universe. And they did, but it was like with this ship 100 years in the future, like... I was left with wondering why, like, any of that mattered. And it almost seemed like it was set up for more episodes, but at the same time, it's
hard
to say.
You definitely want
to
see more.
Yeah, it seems like it, but the problem is they killed off some people, right?
Yeah, they killed off a bunch of people.
But if they had a fifth season, if you read some of the background materials from some of the writers, they purposely left it somewhat ambiguous as to what happened to both Reed and Archer, right? Mm-hmm. So you could, in the end of this episode, you can conclude that Archer is dead. But you know, they don't show him in a casket or something.
They show him, his lover, making out with, like, you know,
his bodyguard
as he's dying, or whatever, whatever happens to him. It's pretty sad way to go anyway.
And the same thing with Reed, where they say, you know, the last thing Phlox says is that, you know, he could go either way, right? So they were thinking of, if they had had a fifth season, that they would have considered revisiting this storyline.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that I also enjoy this episode, but for as much stuff as happens in this episode, the plot is essentially meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And not even just because it's in the mirror universe. I actually think that's kind of cool. And it did inadvertently lay the groundwork for references to what goes on in Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Right? So with the mirror Georgiou and just the technology they were able to get, all that other stuff, right? But... The plot is just a series of backstabbings.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And they just nothing in. I mean, yes, something happens, but it's basically
none of it matters.
But where I think the way to view this episode is the plot is meaningless. It doesn't make any difference. It's purely as a mechanism to see our quote unquote beloved characters acting all differently, or in some cases maybe not. I mean, so I thought it would make sense to briefly discuss what some of the differences are between the characters, right?
So Reed is a cruel, sadistic, racist bastard, essentially.
He didn't seem that different to me. Yeah. And I like
he
Reed.
He was just a little bit more. He was just a little more obnoxious.
A little bit more.
You know, a little but more
he was a little sharper.
Yeah.
A little, having more of an edge to him.
Wasn't that different.
Reed didn't seem that different, and Phlox, other than being sort of a psychopath, also didn't seem that different.
It was just a little tweaking.
So,
Phlox,
in his office or whatever, he didn't instead of Prime Phlox, which would have all these animals he's, you know, nourishing and like studying and getting stuff from him, he's instead dissecting them.
Yeah.
I think one of those is a Cardassian vole or something.
Oh, okay.
I think the first thing he's dissecting, I don't know what the second thing was.
But both Phlox and Reed were sadistic and cruel and liked to torture things. Like that Tholian shit was pretty.
Tucker's
kind
pretty
of a
funny.
Bummer.
He's all like burned up and crazy. And
yeah,
he's not as charming. He's got
he's like all like fucked up.
Doesn't have as much swagger.
Well, he's not like hey, I'm Tucker. You know,
he's not Charles Tripp Tucker the Third.
Yeah,
he's Charles Tripp Tucker the Third.
He's not goofy and uplifting and like lighthearted. He's just really heavy and like dark.
Do you want to get this kind of radiation? I just got a little bit. Look at my eye. This is the same shit Captain Pike got.
Yeah.
But I got less.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I think the implication is that it's similar to what Pike was irradiated with, but instead of getting completely irradiated, he's just sort of...
just one side of the face.
Yeah. Does he just lean on one side of the warp core or something? Like, why did it... was that happening like over time, or was it a particular event? I don't know. We will never know.
The security and the tactical type peeps are like more like Marines, because they have the army ranks, because Reed is a major, and And then and then Mayweather, he's just a sergeant. He's not even like an ensign. He's a sergeant.
And they that's sort of an extension of at a certain point in Enterprise, they added the Makos. I think it was at the beginning of the second season. The Makos were sort of a Marine style or more hardcore group of security people, because it was a result of all their first season shenanigans where they were like going around, they're like, we're gonna go around and meet all these people, and they're like, oh man, there's a bunch of people shoot back at us, so like, we need some people who know what they're doing. So it was in this was a mirror universe extension, I think, of that conceit.
You know, it's right, the whole episode was just a series of backstabbings, and it doesn't matter in the end what really led up to that moment, because it was like Hoshi just ended up poisoning Archer, and that could have happened under any circumstance. Mm-hmm. There was nothing leading up to that made just, you question that could happen. I mean, she even like tried to stab him at first to show you that she's capable of doing it. So there was nothing that really, you're right, nothing really connected.
It's just that's what these people just do. They're the Terrans, and they're just
fucking
always
each other over.
It's always like, yeah, exactly. They're just looking for the opportunity to backstab. And
but that is also a fundamental issue. And I, by the way, I love the Mirror Universe episodes. I tend to enjoy them.
Totally.
But an issue, a perennial issue with the Mirror Universe episodes is this setup for a culture is ridiculous. It just seems completely unstable and absurd that your culture is based off of everyone kind of ruining, like just killing each other.
Yeah.
And the fact that it lasted so long, because it, I mean, you think like they had some kind of Terran empire for like a good chunk of Earth history, and then like something gets fucked up and they regroup and like they take over the galaxy or whatever. And but then they eventually get taken down.
By Deep Space Nine.
By Deep Space Nine, they're yeah, they, so, the underdogs. But
so yeah, the cold open was like, it was pretty, it was a badass cold open, though it was ridiculous. It was completely ridiculous, but it was badass. Like, because it's hard to believe that the humans could fuck up the Vulcans like that easily. The Vulcans, you know, have the superior technology. The humans just discovered warp drive. If the humans could get the jump on these Vulcans, I might be able to buy that. But for that to lead into a series of events that has them taking, like, enslaving all of the Vulcan race and, like, everyone, like, I get it. It's the mirror universe. It's the opposite. But, like, it just doesn't make sense considering, like, the premise they've set up of technology and, like...
We also don't know exactly when the universes sort of diverge. The implication is maybe it was all the way back to the beginning, but certainly... Phlox's statement about reviewing history and seeing those subtle differences going all the way back to, you know, ancient times and how there are differences.
Wasn't he like Shakespeare still the same?
He said Shakespeare is basically the same, right? It was pretty clever. It is an issue, but it's, of course, who cares? It's meant as a literary device, this idea. Again, the mirror universe in and of itself is a literary device to give us an opportunity to see these characters in opposition to each other. Up till this point, all the mirror universe episodes from TOS and then the DS9 ones, of course, had the quote unquote good guys, the prime universe people versus or interacting with the mirror universe.
There was some kind of mishap that led to a gateway, some kind of traveling between the dimensions. This is the only one that it's all just contained.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're really, the viewer is really left to make some assumptions about motivation here because it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just like,
right. Exactly. Yeah.
It effectively doesn't matter. And, and from the perspective of the production crew of the writers, I can imagine this was a really great opportunity to say, okay, we want to do some crazy stuff. Like, for example, the Gorn you mentioned, they always wanted to have a Gorn on Enterprise, but they couldn't because in Star Trek, it said Kirk and the Federation first met the Gorn in Arena, right? So they couldn't show the Gorn, just like they couldn't show the Romulans. So they had to have an episode where they see Romulan ships, but they don't know they're Romulans because they're just strange people that they never get to talk to.
Why was that Gorn so fast?
That Gorn was... That was such
the Gorn was insane.
It was a super agile Gorn. Like, what the Gorn in Arena, like, is all like, you know...
I thought the Tholians, I think, were a success. The updates to the Tholians, the update to the Gorn was not a success.
Yeah, the Gorn, like...
Not threatening.
So the funny thing is when it was talking, it had the power of CG, but the mouth still wasn't moving
It was talking and making funny noises, like...
Some sort of, it had to be a universal translator of some sort and gave it that funny voice.
Yeah, and that's...
Captain Archer.
That's like the original Gorn.
I refuse to surrender.
That's like the original Gorn from TOS because the mouth didn't move in that one either. But this one was like all agile. It was like, it was throwing that dude and it looked really goofy. And And would they beat it by making super gravity?
That was, they could have done without the Gorn altogether.
That was Ensign Kelby, I think, that it sucked up into the thing.
Yeah, that guy.
And, it was so comical.
Oh, yeah.
He's all like, oh.
Yeah. I thought that was, I really liked that because it was just such campy horror. Like, it was a campy horror, like, scene, basically.
I can't remember if it was Manny Coto or if it was Mike Sussman. Manny Coto was one of the main producers at this. He was the showrunner at this time, as I recall. And Mike Sussman was the writer who wrote both of these episodes. And he wrote a ton of Star Trek. I can't remember which one of them complained about it, but they were like, they saw that in the dailies and they're like, oh fuck, it looks so stupid.
It does.
Because they're like, he should be like really kicking his legs and shit. If he's being grabbed from above, you think he's a, you know, he would be freaking out. And then so they said, well, we just justified it in our heads by saying his spinal cord must have been severed
okay.
in the attack. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it look any less silly.
Yeah. You can, that's the problem is if you just leave all these assumptions to people, it's like, there's nothing showing you that that happened. Yeah. So you can just, you could say any, for anything that happens in a show or a movie that doesn't make sense, you can come up with some story to connect A to B, but like that doesn't mean it's like an acceptable way of handling it.
But in terms of the whole episode taking place in the Mirror Universe, I really like that they did that. I thought for Enterprise that was a great solution, and it offered this whole fun opportunity, first with that first contact scene, or the mirroring of first contact, pun intended. Which was done pretty well, mixing footage. It had that music, that first contact theme. Right. And then it goes into the altered intro credits.
Oh, yeah.
With that crazy militaristic really music and the.
So they used footage that Paramount owned of other Paramount properties. There was the. You saw, like, there was a submarine, Jenks, and that was from Hunt for Red October. That's from Hunt for Red October.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I recognize that from the movie.
Yeah, and there's and then that
bunch of F-14s flying around and tanks.
They
and missiles.
Used something from some 1927 movie.
Yeah. There's
I can't
like,
even remember what it was.
There's like some old stuff on there. Yeah, totally.
It was a weird choice to have that CGI astronaut like on the moon. Like like that looked so bad. That looked so bad.
Like the MTV astronaut.
Yeah, and it was just like, why?
I thought it was really hilarious.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious in the same way that that dude getting sucked up by that Gorn was hilarious, because it's just so. It's just so campy and ridiculous.
But I did like the Starfleet ships like shooting at the moon and stuff. And like,
they're all like jumping into action and like kicking ass and shit.
They're all painted yellow for some reason.
That's awesome.
Like, oh, yeah. There was
yellow highlights. That makes us bad people.
What kind of dog was Porthos? Was
Rottweiler.
That was a Rottweiler. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was because it had the colors, but it looked like fluffier than I remember Rottweilers looking. But maybe I'm.
Maybe he had his hackles up.
His Rottweilers?
His hackles.
What?
Rottweilers are the dogs that are descended from like the Roman guard dogs. Is that right?
Like when a dog raises its hackles.
What a hackle?
The dog's hackles.
What's a hackle?
It raises its hackles.
It's like some kind of
like the cat can concept. Raise its hackles. You
I don't know what that's not telling me what a hackle is. It just
it's like when you get all irritated and like ready to go.
Okay. And I think it's when the fur goes all up.
Your
you know,
fur might go
up.
Your teeth will. Your lips will draw back and your fangs
your will canines out. Will your will, canines will extend out by 300%.
Yeah.
This well, happens all the time.
Isn't the Roman
It happens to me like on a daily basis.
Oh, you start getting hackled at people? No, start hackling people.
Other people raise his hackle.
And you're just like, put my hackle down.
I'm ready to
stop raising it so high.
You know, in America, in a modern urban environment, on average, it costs $203,000 to raise a person's hackles from the age of 1 to 18.
You know, I'm not surprised.
It's a costly thing, man. It's expensive.
I think those Roman dogs you're talking about, aren't they like called like Connie Torsos or Connie Cones?
Constitution class.
No, wait, I'm going to look at
the Constitution class starship. USS Defiant.
Thanks for bringing it back.
Connie Corso. They're Connie Corso. That I thought those were like, they're these giant like.
Are those the Roman ones?
They're these giant, they're a breed of mastiff. Oh, they're Italian. That doesn't. Yeah. So that'd be Roman.
Romans are Italian.
I keep forgetting.
That would be one Roman.
The pizza and the Rome.
But the guard dogs that guarded the like
Buffalo
what they used with the military.
Yeah, they're guard dogs and they're companion dogs.
Word. Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Maybe Rottweilers are too. I don't know. But you know what's funny is that this is hilarious.
This better fucking be great, man.
Yeah. Is that whenever I never associate Roman with Italian, which is so dumb.
Well, like, no, it makes that's accurate.
It was a city state.
That's completely accurate.
Well, yeah. No, it was an empire.
Because Italy is a different place now than it was, you know.
Italy's a whole brand new bag.
1500 years.
Yeah, but it's a totally different, right. You know, that is true. It's not just geography.
It's a totally different place.
They didn't have pizza back then.
A bunch of different people kind of moved in zones. Over the years and changed it up.
Yeah, Mario Brothers.
It's not just geography.
It's a me, a Mario.
I'm a pizza man. I'm a pizza plumber.
The climate was a little different.
I make a pizza while I fix your toilet.
I give it a pizza to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Did you see
Michelangelo is an asshole. Never tips.
Did you catch that awesome roundhouse kick Mayweather gave Captain Black? Or no, or was it Admiral Black?
Oh, yeah.
It was Admiral Black. Sorry, Admiral Black.
There was actually some pretty good fighting in this episode.
That was pretty cool.
I like it when they put on the uniforms from the 23rd century.
You know, it's funny because like...
So ridiculous.
It is completely ridiculous, but...
And Archer had the green. He had the green captain's uniform.
Yeah, that was a cool one.
Not the yellow one.
Yeah, so even though the future uniforms were designed in the 1960s, they might as well look futuristic compared to something that was created 40 years later. You know, like, it's like, why not? Why can't those old-ass looking uniforms be 100 years in the future? Uniforms.
When you watch the Brady Bunch, their living room looks like a sci-fi future crazy land. Right. With some kind of round TV.
Yeah.
Some crazy floating stairs. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
The fireplace thing. That's that old school fireplace thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the past and the future, at that point in time, who knows? Who cares? You know? You know what I mean?
Not exactly, but yes.
You know what I mean? Who cares?
I'm
he shook the clamps loose by alternating port and starboard thrusters.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I liked that.
You gotta shake it loose.
That's literally that is a slightly more complicated way to say they rocked the ship.
You shimmied,
back and forth.
You shimmied out of there.
They shimmied and whimmied. Classic Starfleet maneuver.
Now,
no matter which universe you're in, Mirror Prime. Shimmy it loose.
We're never really let on to know.
You've got thrusters.
You've got thrusters. We're never really let on to know how much.
You're already phrasing this oddly.
How much the Empire has spread its fingers throughout the galaxy? How many ships they got in? You know, like.
Hey, how many ships you got?
Okay, how is one
never been let to know?
But they still have
never been let to know.
They got those shitty old ships.
Yeah, but like 100 year in the future ship can take out an entire empire of ships. I know it's not worth being annoyed about, and I'm not, but it's just like kind of like one ship.
I'm kind of buying it.
An aircraft carrier could probably take on the Spanish Armada.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, right? Like, what's the Spanish Armada going to do to an aircraft carrier?
Well, it's made out of wood.
Well, aircraft carriers have ships on them when they have several ships.
This has got...
Could one bomber...
Lasers! It's got photon torpedoes!
I think a storm took out the Spanish Armada, so like, you know, a storm's not going to take out an aircraft carrier.
No.
Well, you got to think, though, in the future, you know, how technology follows the shape of an asymptote? You know, where it approaches the line but never quite reaches it? It's like technology, you know, at first it accelerates super high, but as it gets more better and more better... Where it gets more better. Like the difference between Nintendo and Super Nintendo and PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. It's like the difference is much more pronounced in Nintendo and Super Nintendo because of the asymptotic relationship.
I quibble with generalizing the asymptote of technology.
It's asymptote.
The asymptotic nature of technology, I quibble with applying it as a single unified asymptote for all technology as opposed to individual asymptotes for particular trends of technology.
I mean, once you got warp drive, what's left? I guess you can have nacelles that
time
detach.
Time travel.
You can get nacelles that detach, but it took them 1,000 years to do that.
They might have had that shit for 800 years. Mm. Maybe that detaching nacelle shit
could have been
old.
In the 25th century they came up with it.
I'm just saying, you got your Nintendo, you got your Super Nintendo, you got your Nintendo 64, you
Super
got
Mario
your GameCube.
World.
TurboGrafx.
Okay, Asymptopolops. No.
Asymptopolops.
That's Greece, not Italy. We were talking about Rome. Patrobus.
But Clops Patrobus. Clops Patrobus. Slar the Gorn.
A piece of toast.
Then, during the third reconciliation of the last of the McKetrick supplicants, they chose a new form for him, that of a giant slar. Many shoves and zools knew what it was to be roasted in the depths of the slar that day, I can tell you.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
That was from Ghostbusters, yo.
But you've added Slar in. You've instead transposed Slar.
Instead of Slore.
Was it Slore?
It was Slore in Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters 1?
Yes.
Well, the now you see, if you said that was Slore, then...
But I said Slar because it sounds like
Gozer?
Slore.
What about Gozer?
I bet you at least one person listening gets Slar this reference. Gozer was there.
Was Gozer the main dude?
No, Zool was... No, was, yeah, Gozer was the main dude.
Well, because then there was Zool and then the Keymaster.
And then Gozer popped up. But no, like when Rick Moranis was possessed by the demon dog, the terror dog thing, those scary dogs. I used to fucking be scared as shit going home at night. I'd have a key, and if it was dark outside and I'd have to put the key in the door, ooh, I always thought one of those fucking dogs from Ghostbusters was going to pop around the corner and get me. But no, Rick Moranis was possessed, and then they were talking to him, and like Egon put a thing on his head and was studying his brain.
Right.
And then Rick Moranis started going off about some shit and like
and Slore is similar to Slar, which is a silly
sounds,
name.
It's a pun. The whole thing was a pun.
It was sort of a pun.
Sort of a pun.
And I'm still bewildered.
Slar the Gorn is the name of the Gorn was Slar.
And it's a silly name.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We don't know a lot about the Gorn at this stage. We know a little bit more. Now we know about Gorn weddings and things from Lower Decks. Right?
I'm still a little. Oh, yeah, that's right.
that I'm going to go tight. To a Gorn wedding.
Anyway. I was still put off by the fact that the Gorn was all fast and agile.
And poorly animated.
Yeah,
that too.
Which is frustrating because the production value on these episodes is fantastic. Because
the Tholian stuff is cool.
The Tholian update is great.
The Tholian weird space laser cage they made that looked like some kind of Atari geometry kind of madness. I guess those escape pods, some of them were able to get through those little triangles, right?
They got through the gaps and then some of them got sliced in half.
Right.
This is a brutal episode.
Yeah, fucked up.
But
That pain chamber Reed made was bumming me out. Like thinking about that, like Reed was in there for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I was like, that bummed me out. And then Archer was in there for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. And I was sad after that. I was like, oh my God, I'm sad and want to kill myself. Cause like, well, I don't joke about that.
And apparently that was really upsetting to people when Charles Triptucker III was filming that. Supposedly it was really hard on him, on Connor Trinneer, and it was hard on the production crew. They were
why? Because they were really torturing him for 4 hours.
No, but being tortured for 4 hours is one thing. It's much worse than having to pretend to be tortured for 4 hours. But by all accounts, pretending to be tortured for 4 hours is still difficult for people to watch because Connor Trinneer was really good at looking anguished and pained, and it was an all-day shoot to get those few minutes of.
It was more than four.
Oh,
hours.
Oh yeah, dude. I was reading something about in Game of Thrones, like there's a scene where when this old woman gets waterboarded by the mountain or something. And she said, I don't remember this scene, but in Game of Thrones, she gets waterboarded. According to the actor, she said that she really got waterboarded for that. For like 10 hours, that she said.
Seems like a bad idea.
For 10 fucking hours, because it's like an all-day shoot, and she's just getting waterboarded on and off. Would you do that?
Do you think she still remembers that experience, given the fact that Game of Thrones has been essentially erased from the cultural memory?
Yeah.
The fact that you mentioned it kind of threw me off. I watched every season. I watched almost every episode twice.
It was all anybody could think about for a while.
And now it's
gone. I'm
going
to rewatch it.
It's gone. Maybe it'll come back. So everyone, go out, get waterboarded, so you have a better perspective.
You're not going to like it.
You're not going to enjoy this. At least not as much as you may have enjoyed these particular two episodes of Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
is that what we're talking about?
It's confusing because this is both like it's a prequel to Mirror Mirror, but it's a sequel to the Tholian Web, because in the Tholian Web, that's where they deal with the Tholians. But
we should discuss that.
One of the precipitating events of Kirk getting involved is that the USS Defiant, which was also conveniently a Constitution class starship, because why build another model? it disappeared
in the future. 100 years in the future, they don't like to have windows on their starships. Do you notice that dish? There were like a couple, a handful of windows.
Enterprise D is like all windows.
They're expensive to put it on the model. And you gotta punch all those little holes and put those little lights in there. Nowadays we got them LEDs. And when you got LEDs, you can have as many little lights as you want. LEDs.
I heard that the Death Star has like the trench going around the center because that's how the model was put together. Mm-hmm. It was two pieces. And they
I heard that as well.
Anyways, you were saying something about Tholians and Kirk. And
just that it's funny that this is both a prequel and a sequel. It's a prequel to Mirror Mirror, but it's a sequel to Tholian Web because it explains events that happened in the Tholian Web that were not explained in that episode in terms of where did the Defiant go? Okay, it was thrown into the Mirror Universe and back in time, right? So it's a sequel in that sense. It's a prequel.
Also references First Contact.
And it does reference First Contact as well. So I know there are folks who, when they're watching Star Trek, sometimes even folks who are watching Star Trek for the first time, they decide to watch it in universe temporal order, which is fine. I got no problem with that, but it gets very difficult if you're watching it in that order as opposed to production order, because production order is easy. You just watch it in production order. But if you're trying to watch it in temporal order, then you have to start making decisions about which episodes to watch when, right? Because if technically you'd be watching this one first, because it takes place earlier in time. However, it only takes place earlier in time because of the events that happened in the TOS episode. So maybe you should watch that episode first, if you catch my meaning.
Yeah.
I guess the simple version of that is when people are like, should I introduce my kids to Star Wars with the original trilogy first or the prequels first?
And what's the answer to the question?
The original.
Yeah, I would say so as well.
Yeah, there's no reason to start with the prequels.
No.
I'm not even sure you have to ever watch them.
No,
you can watch all the animated shows.
I would say that Revenge of the Sith, the third one, is like the most watchable one.
I think I view the prequels of Star Wars as being like a baseball game. You don't got to watch it.
You just got to have a hot dog and talk with your friends.
No, you don't got to watch it. Just read the box score.
Right.
For those three movies.
It's just statistics.
Read the TV guide.
Yeah.
Kids, there used to be a thing called TV guide. Read the TV guide synopsis of the three movies.
Used to be a thing called TV.
Watch everything else.
Well, the synopsis. Well, I guess they did add a bunch of boring shit that wasn't part of the original story. Anyway.
Some good music. Star Trek. It's a Star Trek podcast.
In the future, they can break encryption in a few days.
Which is funny, because it's like, in the actual future, it'll either be in a few seconds or never.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, yeah, man. When the
I mean, they already figured out how to like get out into space and go far.
Got some quantum encryption.
Yeah, when they get this quantum computer shit down, it's gonna fuck up all our standard encryption. But they already have encryption in mind to replace it, which is called Oh, fuck, what's it called? It's called something.
I have no idea, sir.
Oh, God, I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it. It's a new kind.
I can't believe you even know the idea.
Oh, man.
Quantum encryption.
Quantum computer encryption.
Dan has forgotten a term.
Oh, I used to know this.
Where's your notes, man?
Elliptical encryption. Elliptical encryption. Elliptic curve cryptography is an approach to the public key cryptography based on the algebraic structure of elliptic curves. Yeah, I think that's the one that has to do with quantum computing. Why are we talking about this?
Because you were talking
about
it.
You're totally talking about it. We're just happy to have you back. So we're just letting you roll with it.
Oh, man.
I thought it was going to be cool.
You never know. Yeah. There could have been like some clever punchline to that whole business.
Nope. I just forgot a word.
Maybe that's the punchline.
I should be more open-minded.
Modern day Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, I should be more open-minded.
How about this? Because we only have so much time left, and we definitely want to talk about the sexualization.
Oh, God. The uniforms.
Okay, so there's a couple angles
That's a mirror thing.
There's the sexualization of Hoshi and T'Pol.
Now, I was thinking about Deep Space Nine and how Kira was like in that leather and all that stuff. And so that's kind of a form of that. But it doesn't seem as blatant in a way. Yeah. And it seems to be more appropriate.
Kira's in control. Man.
Yeah, because she's in control, I guess, maybe. But you could argue that Hoshi's in control. But it's, I don't know. There's something that's not as relevant about the way it's done in Enterprise.
With Hoshi. Okay, there's two different things depending on whether we're talking about Hoshi or T'Pol. With Hoshi, I think there's still a debate to be had about this, but the story of a woman exploiting her sexuality in order to gain power or obtain something that she desires is not a new story. So in the one sense, they're not doing anything particularly bizarre here.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
some Bronze Age stuff.
Do we need more of those stories in that mm-hmm. context? I don't know. Hoshi, I think, is a little bit more debatable. The T'Pol shit is ludicrous. It's absurd. When Hoshi and T'Pol fight, they zoom in on their bellies.
Yeah.
Well, it's the whole midriff janks where it's...
And they didn't have it like that on the mirror.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
And even Kira's leather outfit is like a full leather outfit. Yeah. It's not, let's have her tits hanging out with the zipper. Right. And part of what frustrates me is like, I'm not saying I didn't like it. It makes me mad that I'm like, yeah, okay, I like looking at this because I'm a piece of shit boy.
And just reminds
us. I'm a boy and I want to look at this belly button.
They're just reminding us how sinful we are.
Yeah,
but,
yeah it is.
So there was one scene where you could straight up like, you saw the shot was to pause this. I'm going to describe this.
You're talking about
creepy.
T'Pol's butt crack?
Yes. T'Pol's butt crack because you saw the she was bending forward while she was sitting.
And it's looking down.
It was looking down. You could see her butt cheeks.
And they weren't showing her butt crack in some subtle way to convey that she's a blue collar worker.
And her hair's all long and loose.
Oh, yeah.
And the hair was nice.
That's much different than the other T'Pol.
Did this get
She was emotional
more
in this one.
And she's emotional and she's using emotion to try to appeal to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
T'Pol, I didn't mind a lot of the T'Pol stuff, except for it was just so difficult to get over this uniform business.
So there was that scene with her and T'Pol and Tucker, and Tucker's like, I did you a favor once, and T'Pol's like, we agreed never to discuss that, and Tucker's like, and I haven't, and she goes, I'd hardly call it a favor, you enjoyed yourself, and Tucker goes, several times as I recall, they could have stopped it right there, and you would have pretty much picked up on the fact that they went at it.
Yeah,
but then he goes on to say, so how many years is it until Ponfar comes around again? I thought that last line was unnecessary, and they were just kind of like hammering it in your face at that point. Yeah, like they should have left that.
Everybody knows what was going on there. Yeah. It was Ponfar.
Yeah, it wasn't. They didn't need to like beat it in your face like that.
It's similar to the Archer hallucinating Prime Archer thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, was this fully necessary? Was there another way to convey these emotions, you know, via acting or something?
So Archer's whole plan was he wanted to like go to the Tholian thing, and that's why he beat up Captain what's his name?
Forrest.
Captain Forrest. And so, but then there was a scene with Hoshi when he gives Hoshi, he's like, the data I gave it to you, did you transmit it to the fleet admiral? And she's like, yeah, what was it? And he's like, an insurance policy. And it makes it seem like this like, it's like you're gonna find out there's this big reveal later about like what he sent him.
All he did
was send the admiral the same information he sent to fucking Captain Forrest.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't anything. His clever insurance policy was to just basically go above the head of his captain and send the shit. Everyone's so opportunistic, and you're right, that is not sustainable.
Mirror Archer is a shit.
Because at least Klingons will like, you know, take over, what is it? They'll take command by like defeating some guy in battle, but there's some honor to that.
And there's ritual it seems a little bit more, they always have an excuse here. Same thing in Mirror, when Chekhov is angling, you know, they create or craft some sort of excuse for why they have to kill the captain, but it's not you don't see as much of that with the Klingons. Their excuses seem to be more reasonable. It's like, you know, you are actually losing the war or whatever. Right. Whereas here, we don't see enough of what else. It's referring to what you said earlier, Dan. Is we don't see enough of what's going on out in the Terran Empire to know whether all the shit Archer is talking about we could lose the war in 3 weeks. Is that true? Is that him just exaggerating to manufacture a reason?
Yeah, he's just giving some crazy speech about the criminals running the government. Like,
and he doesn't seem like he's
corrupt,
all that.
The corrupt politicians in Washington.
Yeah, he's not acting all that sensibly anyway. So it's like, why should we trust his perspective? I guess that's in a mirror, darkly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, Archer was fucking tough and sexy.
I know he was,
but neither Archer, neither Prime nor Mirror Archer seemed to have much luck with the ladies. And Mirror Archer, he got poisoned by his like the one he was with, and then Prime Archer, he had a crush on T'Pol, actually, didn't he? I think there was this part where he was like expressing that he had feelings for T'Pol.
Well, Trip definitely did.
Trip did. Trip hooked up with T'Pol.
Was it when there was an episode of Enterprise where Archer wakes up and he's like an old man living with T'Pol on Vulcan or some shit?
I don't remember that episode, but I feel like I very clearly remember there was an episode where Archer is
talking with them green girls.
Where Archer was talking about how he. And it wasn't like he was confessing his love for her. It wasn't a big thing. It was just kind of like he was just kind of saying, like, you know, feeling
like you're always wearing those pajamas.
Yeah.
Those
I don't know.
Bizarrely sexy pajamas. They don't look like they're actually comfortable for sleep, but they look like they're great for, you know, a romantic night.
From my imagination.
Those silky, silky pajamas. I swear Archer had a thing for T'Pol. Right.
Well, you can write us in. And don't forget, you can write us in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com to set us straight. And in this case, specifically setting Dan straight.
Where do you get off, Dan?
I don't know. Right here. So, but she went for Tucker instead, as we all know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But Archer,
she was going for Tucker in the Mirror Universe, too. It's interesting that they still have some kind of, you know.
Right. Which is also why you know
they
that they...
do it.
This is also why they didn't have to talk about the Pon Farr line.
Exactly.
Because
they're soulmates.
They're
soulmates. If your love crosses over multiple universes... It's an indication that you're soulmates.
Soulmates.
I like it whenever Archer was like, I don't have a problem with those people. Yeah. Your people, or I don't have a problem with Phlox. Yeah. It was really good. It really sounded like this guy's an asshole.
He really sounded like a racist piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, it was right on.
Phlox is one of the good ones.
It's like, you know, I don't have any problem with you, but I don't really respect you either.
The Tholian, when they were killing that Tholian, that poor Tholian.
Yeah, I know, that sucks.
Just fucking exploded, and he was like all shrieking.
Yeah.
I really like the Tholians, they're so neat.
Yeah.
There's a fair amount of horrifying stuff in both of these episodes. It's somewhat campy and comical, but it hits you.
Yeah, that space laser trap was so weird and creative. I'm just pretty into that.
I thought the haircuts were all pretty awesome.
Yeah, the haircuts were all pretty good.
Because you already mentioned that Archer and Tucker both had that sort of like brushed, I'm a piece of shit hair.
Yeah.
Not that everyone who has that haircut is a piece of shit, but it is an indicator, okay? We're not saying change your haircut. You be you. But fairly or unfairly, there's a stereotype associated with that type of haircut, and that's you're going to be a piece of shit to people, and that's what Archer is. Trip, less so. Trip's character in this episode is a little bit bizarre because he's less charming, less swagger, but he is showing loyalty to... Archer, even towards the end after Archer tortures him and stuff, it seems, you know, he's stopping Phlox and...
Yeah, and...
He gets exploded, and, like, he was probably loyal.
Yeah, and he's all pissed at T'Pol, because, like, they really ran with the mind meld in this episode. They, like, ran with what you could... So she seduced Tucker. T'Pol seduced Tucker. She mind melded with him, compelled him to sabotage the power grid.
Gave him nothing.
Melded again... And then erased his memory. Have we established that we can do this with mind melds? I guess Discovery really goes pretty far with mind melds, so I guess anything's possible.
Yeah,
so,
right. In Discovery, they're like communicating like across the galaxy or something.
Right. So, irrespective, I guess it's not that bad.
Irrespective of whether or not we've expanded in this episode the capabilities, these magic capabilities of the Vulcans, put that aside for the moment. This explanation was entirely unnecessary because it would have been completely satisfactory for when he said, you sabotage the ship.
You sabotage the ship.
She could have said,
why did you sabotage the ship?
She could have just as easily been like, yes.
I helped you with Pon Farr. Why did you sabotage the ship? I just spent four... I just spent four...
Charles Triptiger the third.
I just spent four hours.
You need a drink of water or something. Triptiger normally makes people thirsty, so your throat's drying out. Drying out from
Trip,
thirst.
Trip Tucker
you are
sprinkles.
Developing a thirst for Charles Triptiger the third.
4 hours in the pain chamber.
In the pain chamber.
In the pain chamber.
But it this was not necessary. T'Pol, we would have bought the fact that T'Pol could have indeed surreptitiously sabotaged the engine while distracting.
Yeah.
Why and not? The cloaking
device. Why did they have to make it so that, like, oh, no, Tucker has to deal with the fact that
It's a hat on a hat, right? And the reason it's a hat on a hat is because they already had a clever twisty ruse that I actually thought worked really well, which was the cloaking device stops working and a bunch of other systems stop working, and Archer is all like, fuck, some piece of shit. What the fuck? Some piece of shit just fucked up my shit. Fix the cloaking device. And so he gets everyone like putting all their attention on the cloaking device because he's convinced some piece of shit has sabotaged the cloaking device to stop him from his mission. When in fact, we then find out, that was T'Pol being quite clever, using her clever Vulcan mind to distract Archer with the cloaking device, while also simultaneously, which is an unnecessary construction, I apologize, you do not need to say also and simultaneously. Mm. Also, I'll pick that one. Also,
meanwhile,
also,
well, you're putting emphasis on it.
Exactly. So. Also, T'Pol also takes down the internal sensors, which is what she really wanted to do so that she could free Captain Forrest. And so that is a cool film noirish type kind of heist movie twist. And then there's this extra one with all the mind melds that takes a long time to explain and pushes the boundaries of what we know about mind melds and is completely unnecessary because it would have been fine if she had just been like, yeah, fuck you. You're so stupid. And you're so stupid. You didn't even see it. I just did it and you're stupid. It's because I used the fact that you got one bum eye with your flappy radiation skin and like you didn't see me you would have seen me out of the corner of your eye, but you don't have a corner of your eye because your eye's all fucking melted.
You got one eye, bitch.
Now, that explanation didn't really work, but it's that kind of line of like storytelling thinking that they have is why I kind of like the episode, because they just throw all this arbitrary shit at you in this episode. All this stuff happens. Like, yeah, for some reason there was like the Gorn, what was he? He was
the slave master.
He was a slave master because they were salvaging the ship.
Yes.
And so the Archer's crew is going to steal their salvage. And so for some reason they're sneaking around. So you spend 5 minutes with this Gorn and then it comes and goes and there's...
They were punching those aliens in their weird alien faces. Yeah, they fucked up
that blue dude. Yeah. That was another upsetting scene.
That was really upsetting. That was horrible. Yeah, he was so miserable. I know. He was having the worst time of his life.
The Tholians didn't treat me this bad.
Mayweather was just beating the fuck out of him and he has his cool earring and he has a cool haircut too.
He's got that
earring. Oh yeah, he had that cool haircut.
The best part was I was reading about the behind the scenes and they said they decided to make Mayweather one of the reasons they decided to make him Archer's bodyguard is they wanted to give him, the actor, more opportunity to act. They said they wanted him to be a bigger part of the show in this episode. Because
he's not always really on the show.
They really underused him. But
he's always just kind of positive and plucky and kind of like, hey, I'm Mayweather. But the gag
is on the bridge.
The gag is they did not use him more in these two episodes. Right. Mm-hmm. He has a couple of key scenes and he has a presence, so you notice him. But
it's disappointing.
He's not really utilized more.
He's just a sergeant.
All he's doing is beating the fuck out of people or saying, yes, sir. Or trying to be brown nose Archer. Archer was all like, dude, you got the job.
Yeah.
Don't talk yourself out of it.
When Archer was shooting on that Vulcan ship and T'Pol was all upset and that Vulcan said that the emergency bulkheads were engaged. What does that mean?
What is an emergency bulkhead?
What does that mean?
Exactly. That's a very good question.
I know what the emergency bulkheads are.
I thought bulkheads were just like big things that sat around in the cargo bay.
It's modeled after submarines or also other Navy vessels, but particularly submarines. The bulkheads, you have basically the doors that go in between the rooms and shit.
Oh, so like when the one room in the submarine is flooding, you close the bulkhead to prevent it from...
Then the flooding doesn't get through. Okay, and in space, similar, but flip it and reverse it.
They would just call it
something. You don't want the air to go out.
In the 24th century, they would call it something different.
The emergency bulkhead.
In the 22nd century, they call it...
They call it emergency bulkheads all the time.
Really? Okay.
Well, didn't somebody in
TNG...
Is it on TNG?
Bulkheads are all over the place.
Wait, in TNG, didn't someone become disabled because a bulkhead fell on them in TNG?
Well...
I thought that happened.
Worf.
Oh,
had,
yeah.
But that was just a barrel.
I thought a bulkhead fell on him, and that's why he wanted Riker to kill him or
something. No, a barrel fell on him.
I thought it was a bulkhead.
It would have been much cooler if it was a bulkhead because it looked kind of goofy because bulkhead. it was Michael Dorn getting hit by an obviously empty, very light prop of barrel.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And it's then like, he's all like, ooh, and his hair flops around all goofy.
Yeah, it's funny because you can tell by the way it bounces and how gravity works. Oh, speaking of which, when they get on the Defiant and there's those two dead bodies in front of the captain's chair, and he's like, help me with these. And he lifts up what is very obviously a dummy. Like, because he's just by himself, like just casually lifting this human up. And this human's like, it's like kind of like wiggling, but stiff like dummies are. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
Who are you calling a dummy? By the way, those bodies were, this is how awesome the production staff was in terms of replicating the Bridge of the Defiant from the Tholian web. Those bodies were positioned in, I believe, the exact same spot that you see them at the end, like when the ship disappears in the Tholian web.
No.
If I recall correctly, which I may not.
That's pretty awesome. Did you know that ship? There was only 47 of them, but it was supposed to be staffed with 400. 400 people run a fucking ship.
Did you know that?
How many people run
the number 47 comes up a lot in Star Trek for some reason?
No, I didn't.
Look it up.
I'll look it up.
I thought it was cool that, okay, so when they blast out of the Tholian web, like the Defiant can totally like blast out with its technology. It can beat the 22nd century Tholians.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't beat them. 23rd century.
It was still just the 21st century Tholians that brought them through the gate. They were just like losing their mind because of like the shift in like the universes. Like
the
gate was making them crazy, time shift.
Were the Tholians going crazy?
No, the people in the Defiant were going nuts. That's why they weren't able to fight back. That's what I got from it.
They went nuts.
They went nuts because that's what actually happened.
You're talking about in this episode.
Well, not in this episode, but like in the other episode.
Maybe we should just watch the Tholian whip.
In the other episode.
Yeah, we should.
We could talk about that one next. But in the other episode, they go nuts and they kill each other or something. That's what we're led to believe. So they weren't able to fight back. They could easily use their technology against the 22nd century Tholians, as is demonstrated in this episode.
Mm.
Based on what I read, it wasn't any sort of contemporary Tholians. It was
so you're saying
it was the Tholians in the past calling the Defiant through the gateway that they opened up.
Well, in this episode, they were fighting past the Tholians from the past, but you're saying that they also fought the Tholians from the future.
No, actually, in the episode in the TOS episode, they encounter the Tholians that are contemporary to them.
Or it's contemporary. Okay, that's what I meant.
The Defiant is being sucked through time and space or whatever the fuck by the Tholians in the mirror universe in the past.
Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can write us in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com to set us straight.
Set us straight.
Set us straight. Well, speaking of aircraft carriers, if it takes 400 to staff the Defiant, how much do you think it takes to staff an aircraft carrier? I think that's a solid question.
That's a good question, and it's easily
it's topical.
Found, I think.
Well, first you have to determine which aircraft carrier, so which class of aircraft carrier, you know,
and U.S. Aircraft carriers are kind of obsolete now. So
I think it's like 1,500 people, maybe, or is it 5,000 people? I say 5,000 people for a Nimitz class U.S. aircraft carrier.
When fully, this is according to FAS.org.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know, but it says FAS.org. Then there's an arrow that says IRP. Then there's an arrow that says DOD, DIR. Then there's an arrow that says Navy. And then there's an arrow that says RFS. And then, that's a weird way of doing the HT. Oh, the arrow was just a slash. That's weird. It was the way Google displayed it was as an arrow, but then when you go it just means it's a slash.
So what's the answer to the question?
So fas.org.irb. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm trifling here. I'm really trifling.
It's got Dan trifling.
When fully manned, according to this website, which is a .org, so you know it's true. Typical ship organization. When fully manned, an aircraft carrier.
USS Enterprise.
They let ladies in now too.
When fully staffed, I'll replace manned with staffed.
Very good.
An aircraft carrier is home to as many as 5,000 personnel. The size of a small city. You said like 1,500.
Yeah, but then I said 5,000.
Because you know,
I said 5,000 like five times.
You got like all the flight people.
1,500 is probably like a French.
You got like the pilots.
Carrier.
There's probably a contingent of Marines.
There's a mess hall guy.
The circus.
Who's like running the mess hall?
There's the people that do all the laundry.
Ring circus.
There's a Neelix in there somewhere.
You got all the people who work in the shops in the mall.
Yeah, there's the mall.
You guys seen Spaceballs?
So how much is really required to run an aircraft carrier? You know what I mean?
and the fact that
probably answerable.
Yeah,
aircraft carriers are obsolete.
How much you really need?
What's a skeleton crew for an aircraft carrier?
It's not World War II, so you don't need an aircraft carrier.
Well, the Enterprise, the Defiant is around 400 because the Enterprise U.S. the original Enterprise was
it's a standard
little over 400
class.
Constitution class.
Constitution, yes, sorry.
Constitution class.
Well, now I got one that just said with over 6,000 personnel, Nimitz class aircraft.
Well, that's a super carrier. That's one of them new guys.
Aren't they like, don't they run off of like nuclear power? Or
they
something?
Do. They run off of nuclear power. Do. Most of them have at least, I think, two nuclear power plants.
Could you imagine?
Possibly more than that.
Could you imagine the propeller that runs that thing?
Yes, I could.
It's a big old propeller.
Picture. No. I've never seen one in person, but I've seen
I
a picture
it's so
on the
fucking big.
I bet it is, dude. I bet it's the biggest one.
I'm going to say aircraft carrier.
I bet those warp coils are so big.
Propeller.
Beam. All right. I think we've got any other final points? Otherwise, shall we move on to the odds and ends?
God, that's a big propeller.
I think we're good, man.
That's so big. That's so scary. That's so scary. That's my biggest fear.
What is it, like a mile?
It's like if you're in the water and there's an
air... Oh, it's going to kill you,
And you're like, and you're underwater and you're going and you see that big propeller in front of you and you're just being sucked underwater
Maybe
towards
it. Maybe
it's
so big that it can't kill you.
Whoa. And you're just like fucking wrenched around and your body gets torn apart from
all
the force.
Don't go swimming in the shipping lanes.
No.
Don't go... Chasing waterfalls.
Could you imagine if that propeller was halfway in the water and halfway?
I can imagine all sorts of shit,
like,
Dan.
And if it was halfway out of the water and just going like around.
He's
anyways.
In his 40s. He can imagine all.
I can imagine all sorts of things. I've been practicing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I took us on a tangent.
He has an advanced mind.
All right, so odds and ends. I got one here for you. The original idea of doing a Mirror Universe episode on Enterprise during the fourth season, the plan was to try to get William Shatner to be on the show, but didn't work out. So they ended up not abandoning whatever storyline they had come up with, but they still wanted to do it. So then they came up with this storyline.
Oh,
how's that?
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you toss one out?
When T'Pol tries to get Saval to join her coup.
T'Pol and Saval,
she gets Saval to join her coup. She then tries to overthrow Archer by using the floppy disk in the console built into the ship. Yeah. That's how she was going to do it with that floppy disk.
Oh, yeah.
And then because the technology was built directly into a console in the ship.
Yes.
And then making it impossible to replace when shit advances. That's the main problem with those ships is they probably go obsolete really fast.
The Mirror Universe Enterprise had like a male voice, didn't it? The computer?
Oh yeah, and it said working.
I am a male voice.
Working.
Men are violent.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe that's. Whoa. I didn't even think about that. I'm stupid.
Yeah.
When it was either Hoshi elbowed T'Pol or T'Pol elbowed Hoshi when they fought and Hoshi slashed T'Pol and you saw her green blood and then T'Pol like slut shamed Hoshi.
Yeah, she did. It was weird and fucked up.
Yeah, but when the elbow, I think it was T'Pol elbowing Hoshi in the face, it made that psh, you know, that psh punch sound.
She like, only jumped into one bit.
Like, so, okay, anyways, the point I was making was when she elbowed her in the face, I thought it was comical because it made that psh punch, you know, that punch sound. I associate, it's already silly enough that they associate that with a punch, but it works because that's so ingrained in my skull. But when I saw it coming from an elbow to the face, my brain set off all these alarms. It was like, no, that's not the sound an elbow makes in a TV show to the face. When an elbow goes to the face in a TV, a fist to the face goes psh, but an elbow to the face in a TV show goes like ka-dunk, or like thunk, or like psh, or like psh, or like tchoo. Or like thud, like thunk, like
that's.
You're talking about TV shows or video games.
That's
now?
Very,
I don't know.
That's very good insight. Mm.
TV shows or movies? Thank you. I thought so too.
That's what you add to the podcast.
It's just random insight.
Dan is back.
What was with the? They were like being all racist towards that Tellarite at the beginning.
Oh yeah, they kept talking shit about Tellarites.
It's
like he's guilty of something.
Yeah,
they're always up to something.
They're always up to something. Those Tellarites, those pig-faced creatures.
And at the near the end, I think Archer was saying something like they were talking about their plan to do something, and he was like, "Might as well get a bunch of Tellarites to do it," or something like I don't know. He's basically saying that Tellarites were poor strategists and stuff like that.
It was I mean, it's not weird in the context. It was, but it was another off-putting example.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe a little too on the nose, but it's fine because everything's got to be a little bit of arch in the mirror universe.
A little archer.
Yeah.
Well, a little archer than the last.
Yeah.
Not the archest, but archer.
Yeah, but mirror archer is not as cool as prime archer, so.
But Mirror Archer is kind of sexier than Prime Archer.
Prime Archer is not all like being all like whiny and lame.
Yeah. Well, that's what Starfleet does, man. Starfleet's whiny and lame.
And you get to warp 5. They won't even give you warp 5.
It's like root beer.
Although root beer. Prime Archer does
like from like Quark.
Prime Archer does tie a few people to chairs and beat the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
So he's no angel.
Been a long road.
Yeah. It has been.
Those green chicks.
Quite a long road.
So the Defiant can do, as Tucker thinks it can do, warp 7. Do we know what warp they could do in TOS?
It's complicated.
I think it's been.
It's kind of like how you're just like, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
They've done a spectrum.
Yeah. Because there's the TOS warp scale. And then for TNG, they sort of reconfigured. Because
there's the trans warp. Sale. Warp.
Mm. So for TOS, they would occasionally go up to like warp 13. Everything's fucked up.
But you can't go up to 10 in TNG.
In TNG, they make it as if it's similar to the speed of light, where you can approach warp.
It's an asymptote.
And Enterprise was just like warp 5.
Because on Voyager, when they go to warp 10 by accident, they turn into the salamanders and fuck each other. Janeway and.
It's because they passed by the asymptote.
Paris. Yeah, they asymptotically mated.
The relays are behind the duotronic module. I looked up duotronic on Google, and it's just a Star Trek thing.
And it comes, yeah, and that's totally. Where, and positronic is a derivation of duotronic.
What about technotronic?
Duotronic was from the TOS episode with the computer scientist guy.
What was
Is it the ultimate computer? I think it is, where they do an upgrade to the Enterprise's computers, and it's a duotronic computer. It's like the newest deal. And then Data has a positronic brain.
Mm. Sure does.
Think about that out there, people.
Oh, a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight. Make my day.
That was Technotronic.
Yeah. Is that not to be mistaken with Ya-Kid K? Or was Ya-Kid K part of Technotronic?
Oh, now I don't know.
This is outside of my ken.
Yes. Beyond my ken. That is outside of my bailiwick.
Ya-Kid K. KK born is a Congolese Belgian hip hop recording.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's the duotronic computer system, yeah. And the Federation was revolutionary technological advancement, which was designed and developed by Dr. Richard Daystrom, yeah.
That's where the Daystrom Institute comes from.
In 2243.
Hearing the TOS bridge sounds is delightful no matter the context.
Yeah. It's always awesome and it's always appreciated. And it's funny, did they not have communicators in Enterprise?
They had communicators. They just made them a little bulkier.
But it seems like they used the future communicators.
Yeah, and they also got the future phasers.
They like those. They like the future shells.
Yeah, they like those.
I like that Mirahoshi thinks that Prime Archer looks like a total nerd. And what's great about Linda Park's acting here is that it's not just that she sort of kind of, she's like, oh, he's a loser. She really sincerely, she just glances at the picture and immediately her face is just like, oh man, that guy sucks.
So say, I mean, that scowl really does a lot for him. What was the name of that Vulcan ship? It was the Avenger?
Was it the Vulcan ship, or was that just the other ship?
Might have been the other ship.
That was the other Federation ship. Well, I don't know that we ever hear the Vulcan ship's name. The Vulcan ships all have those, like, that ring style.
Yeah. Thing. Weren't there Vulcans on the Avenger?
Yeah, Saval was on there.
Yeah, so right, that's what it was. The Saval,
was
right
like
before,
the science officer.
When the Avenger got shot and it blew up, right before it blew up, there was that awesome shot of Saval surrounded by fire, going like, oh! Yeah. It was like
Gary Graham.
It was awesome. It was like, he's just like burning in fire, and he's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Both of these episodes are pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was badass.
I could have told Reed, or Mirror Reed, that whole communicator thing was
communicator?
A trap. That communicator thing
communicator.
Was a trap.
Communicator.
Malcolm Reed, that communicator thing was a trap.
That communicator
they
was a trap.
They put a communicator.
It's a trap.
That communicator was a... That communicator.
It's a communicator. It's a communicator.
Hey, Reed, that communicator. Hey, Reed, that communicator was a trap. Communicator was a trap.
You know what I'm saying, though,
Chip
right?
Tucker the Third.
Chip Tucker the Third.
The communicator... Reed seemed all surprised. He was like, it's a trap. And then they got brought up. It's like, it's a trap. He put a communicator down that had a false, was broadcasting a false biosignature.
Yeah. It was all
of course it's a fucking trap.
And it's beeping. You're walking up to it. It's beeping. The first thing that like bomb squads do is they, you know, it's like when people see in an airport and something's ticking, you call the bomb squad.
You get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, right.
Should have sent Porthos in to go check it out.
Yeah, Porthos would have eaten that shit and he would have taken it good too because he's a good doggy.
All right. Any other odds
Apple,
and ends?
Apple Podcast.
Apple Podcast.
Apple Podcast.
Apple Podcast. Right,
we've gotten to the part where we say Apple Podcast and iTunes.
Apple Podcast.
These are places you can find the podcast.
I thought it was actually it summed up the attitude of the sort of Terran dark universe was Archer's line at the end when he was said. Referring to like when he was being the emperor and he was referring to then Hoshi was like, do you think they'll follow you or something like that? And he's like, they're loyal to the emperor. They don't really care who it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's pretty much the sums up the mm-hmm. attitude of everyone in that shit. It's mm-hmm. like, they don't give a fuck what's going on as long as their shit's in order. And like, and they will fucking, everyone else can die as long as their shit's in order.
That's
and they're
how
getting
empires
on top.
Work. Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Otherwise, we can do the whole social media thing where we tell people to like and subscribe.
Like and
oh God,
subscribe. Social media things. Like and subscribe.
I will say Apple Podcasts. That's all I'll say.
It's got Star Trek.
All right. So we've got a variety of ways that you can communicate with us. You can interact with us. One of those ways.
You know them all already.
Yeah.
We're not going to even
say feedback. It is got Star Trek. It's email. We do like getting your emails with positive affirmations. Those are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, @It'sGotStarTrek. Instagram, @It'sGotStarTrek. Facebook, type in It's Got Star Trek or @It'sGotStarTrek. Whatever you want to do, you'll find us on Facebook. You can follow us there. YouTube,
mm-hmm.
It's Got Star Trek.
You know what we have that Star Trek doesn't have?
It's
the internet. Star Trek doesn't have the internet.
We totally don't have the internet.
I know. What's up with that?
We just have a bunch of computer databanks.
What a bunch of jerks.
What a bunch of jerks.
Computer databanks.
Like the whole plot around is which season two of Discovery was like about just a giant mainframe.
Well, essentially.
Yeah. Which is kind of like an old school idea.
And in season three, it still involves like dealing with like interacting with the mainframe.
Yeah.
In order to, like, anyway.
So it's, you're right though. That's funny. That's clever. What you said when I said what it's, we have
not
it's.
As, not as clever as the internet thing. Your thing made more sense. But what are you going to do? All right.
Yours was more of a punchline and we're all about punchlines around here.
We also have a website and the website.
Not to be mistaken for
www.itsgotstartrek.com. That's the website. I mean, there's all sorts of cool stuff there.
YouTube.
I mean, YouTube. YouTube's good. Go follow us on YouTube.
Like they say, go fuck yourself.
No, don't go fuck yourself. We love you. You guys are nice. You're listening to our little program here.
Fuck yourself and then listen to the podcast.
You know, we're not doing that whole aggressive, like, oh, fuck our listeners and then they'll have a love-hate relationship with us. No. It's a love-love relationship.
We want to.
Thank you.
We want to be inappropriate with you.
We really, really do. and you can facilitate that on our social media or via email or follow us on YouTube or Facebook or whatever.
I think you can go to Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
I think I thought you were going to say, I think you can go to hell. I thought Patrick was going to say, go fuck yourself.
I don't say that anymore.
I think you got to do some self-examination here, Dan.
I know.
I used to say that a lot and I decided to not.
Projecting a lot of negative
thinking.
Because
there's no such place. No such place as hell.
And it isn't just Apple Podcasts. You can find us on all the great podcast providers like Google Podcast and Spotify and Stitcher and you know all that.
Stitcher?
Yeah, it's everywhere. Hardly newer.
If you had to... Stupid.
I know, of course it's stupid. This is a stupid podcast.
Jesse, if you had to swim...
That's what we're selling here.
If you had to swim like submerged in diarrhea all day, that'd be like hell.
Yeah.
So you could just tell someone to go do that.
So, do you have scuba gear?
Why don't you go swim in diarrhea without the scuba gear?
Well, then you'll just drown.
Well, you hold your breath and then you like
hold your breath and shit, motherfucker.
Okay.
Go hold your breath and shit. That's pretty good.
We kept it classy. We kept it classy.
Go hold your breath and shit.
Until the end.
For the bulk of this episode, we apologize.
Bulkhead. You bulkhead.
For the end bit here.
Yeah, bulkhead.
But I think with that, we hope you enjoyed
YouTube.
This episode. And
YouTube.
I've said YouTube like a million fucking times. Why would they watch a podcast on YouTube to begin with? We go to the effort to put it up there, but we don't need to.
Yeah, that one, you're really conflicted over that one because you put it up there.
You gotta have it on YouTube. It's kind of like one of those things you gotta do.
You gotta.
It doesn't matter. It's kind of cool.
You gotta have it.
Maybe young people get into YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube is a lot of people access their audio delights through YouTube.
I pay to not have ads on YouTube. It actually originally began because
good for you, money butt, money bags.
No, well, let me tell you.
You think the average, or the average audience member can afford has the discretionary income in order to pay to not have ads, but to not have that fucking pop up that YouTube just pops up every fucking day. It's like, you want to try a 3-month subscription?
Oh yeah, but even if you have
this shit, no,
even
I don't.
Even if you have the subscription, it'll tell you need to get this other kind of live TV YouTube. It's like, no, don't. It originally happened because I had Spotify, and then I was like, oh, Google Music is just like Spotify, but with Google Music, if you get their service, you also get like ads eliminated from it. So I saw it as like Spotify, but better.
Is the is the algorithm good?
I mean,
if you type in like a band, do you get that band or you just get like other bands?
You usually get that band. But the playlist usually, it's the same problem where the playlist, they tend to play the same shit. But yeah. Now YouTube recently switched to YouTube Music and I'm still feeling that one out. I don't know. They switched from Google Music to YouTube Music.
I think this conversation is sending our SEO through the fucking roof.
Do they have
SEO?
Yeah.
What's SEO?
Search Engine Optimization.
I should know that.
Because we're talking about Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify.
Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
We're delineating and outlining.
We got to keep this tangent
going. Yeah. I mean, we could keep the tangent going forever.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Anyway, we didn't decide what we're going to talk about next week, but we'll figure that out and you'll see it.
It'll be a TNG.
I don't know. Not necessarily. Didn't we just do a TNG?
Yeah, we did.
I thought you suggested we should do the Tholian and TOS, Jesse.
We could totally do that.
I did, yeah.
All right, you want to do that?
I'm all over the
place. You want to lock yourselves into the Tholian web?
I'll fuck that shit.
Okay. So, welcome back. All right. We just decided, ad hoc decision, we'll do the Tholian web next week. TOS, can't remember which episode or which season, so look it up.
It's at the end, yeah.
Look it up, and we'll discuss that next week. And in the meantime, we wish you all the best.
I hope you have a good week.
We hope everything in your life is just steady state.
Stay out of trouble, but don't forget to take risks.
Get vaccinated.
Do all the things that you think are appropriate to do based on the context of your own particular cultural, political, ecumenical beliefs, whatever those might
be. Yeah, that's cool.
Whatever keeps you listening to this.
Whatever blows your dress
free
up.
Free podcast with no ads. Anyway, we'll sort that out in the future.
You should speak to Captain Archer about a promotion.
Well, you're his first officer. You could talk to him for me.
Why would I do that?
I did you a favor once.
Agreed never to discuss that.
And I haven't.
Hardly call it a favor. You enjoyed yourself.
Several times, as I recall. So how many years is it until your Bonfire comes around again?